of it. Deep enthusiasm and energy. And then let your body follow. That way your transcendental ecstasy will be manyfold. I know some of you are just kind of used to moving your body, so... Alright, but it's better to focus on chanting from the heart. And then you can dance. The main thing is the chanting coordinated with the dancing. Not just moving the body and kind of mumbling the mantra. We're calling out to Krishna, please engage in your service. Now I'm engaged in the service of the illusory energy. Please engage me in the service of your spiritual energy. We cannot get enough of this Hare Krishna mantra. The more you chant, the more you feel like you've got so far to go, you can't get enough of it. When you start to feel like that, then you know your spiritual health is returning. The more you chant, the more you think you need to chant. You never think that you're chanting as nice as can be. You're always thinking, oh, still so far to go. That's the nature of love of Krishna. The more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more room you think is there ahead, the more distance is ahead. So you just go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as you go deeper, it's not you're thinking I'm getting closer to the bottom. You just think, the bottom is further away. I have to go deeper. In this way, your Krishna conscious experience is ever fresh. The thing that wears down and impedes our spiritual progress is attachment to the body. The body not only means flesh and blood and bones, but it also means a collection of past habits, a collection of tendencies accumulated over many lifetimes. It's going to take some effort to break out of that shell. It's possible. Not all of you are going to do it, but you can if you choose. It's just a career. It's a challenge which can be won if you put your energies into the effort in the right way. It's not like a challenge which you don't know how it's going to turn out. That is not a fact. It will turn out right if you put your energies in the right way. After year after year of Krishna conscious practice, you're going to start to realize it actually works. That will be an amazing realization for you. In the beginning, you have this freshness of enthusiasm because it's something new. Of course, Krishna is always new, so that's all right. And you've been shell-shocked from the material world. As the years go by in your sadhana practice, you may become a bit familiar, too familiar with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I've been doing it for a few years now. What's the big deal? When you start to feel like that, that's the time to increase your spiritual intensity. Don't fall victim to that phase where you feel like, hey, you know, I've been doing this 5 or 10 or 15 years and God hasn't tapped me on the shoulder yet. When you start to feel like that, let me tell you in advance, that is the time when you have to turn up your game a notch. Take your game to another level. You have to increase your spiritual intensity. And once again, you'll discover the ever-freshness of Krishna consciousness. Just like, I guess, in relationships, it's a common thing in male-female relationships that last a while, that they hit some kind of crisis and they have to reevaluate their relationship. I don't think any of you are old enough or been in that situation long enough for that kind of thing to happen. But Of course, things are so accelerated these days that maybe some of you in your, you know, your 20s have already been through that. After 2 years, you know, you have to do a reevaluation. Like, what are we doing together? What are we really about? And you either separate or else you have to go to another plateau, another level. I guess everyone here is separate. What do you get clear on? You're still in the love of yoga stage. Clear on the spiritual platform. She's always engaged humbly in devotional service. Keep this in mind. Try not to forget that Maya hits you with this subtle psychology after some years in Krishna consciousness. You've been there, you've done that, you went to India, yeah, did Sankirtan. What else is there to do? Well, there's lots more to do. Increasing your attachment to the holy name, increasing your abilities to present Krishna consciousness to others. Many devotees make the mistake of treating Prabhupada's books like they're some kind of compendium of information. Once you read them, you got the information down, that's it. But actually, Prabhupada's books give you contact with the super soul. So I'd like that you all notice that. That you, when you approach these books in a meditational way, they increase your ability to hear the super soul. Any questions about anything? Gravity means, it's described in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Stittadhir Muni. Several verses where Krishna says, Stittadhir Muni Uchate. A yogi who is fixed in mind, who is not disturbed by comings and goings of transitory situations. Quite a few verses where Krishna ends by saying, Stittadhir Muni Uchate. This is said to be a yogi who's fixed, sober and grave, means not capsized by the inevitable tumult and changes in the material world. To be like that, you have to have knowledge. You have to understand how material nature works, how the spiritual nature works. And you have to have a spiritual taste that keeps you steady amidst the comings and goings of the material energy. What does Rupa Goswami explain in the first verse of Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction? Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udarapasta Vegam. Etan Veganyo Vishahita Dira. Dira, grave, sober, steady. If you can control the pushing agents, the Vegas. The mind's pushing, the tongue's pushing, etc. Prahlad Maharaj compares the human situation to be like a man with five wives. You see, in the animal species, one sense is predominant. You see the fish, how they're always, you know, the tongue is so active. Their whole life is based on their tongue. Or the insects that fly into fire. One sense is so active. The deer that get hypnotized by the hunter's flute. The human body is different. All the senses are very active. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj compares the human body to be like a man with five wives, each wife pulling him in a different direction. That's why you have to expertly engage all your senses in Krishna service. Then your senses will not disturb you. That's why it's fun to see all the devotees learning different things, cooking and kirtan and managing and taking responsibility and book distribution and preaching. Or even Dharmakish class. Okay. You have it been recorded? Is she a fire and brimstone preacher? Who else gets that? Chloe, you get that? Sarah, you get that? Everybody does that. Sue? You're preparing, right? Down with all the meat eaters. Maya, you get that? You're preparing it. Sarah, you get that, isn't it? Also, the men should do the same thing. Be active in many, many things for Krishna's service. Don't let the ladies have all the fun. Everyone should be expert at cooking and cleaning. The men, how are they doing about cleaning? Okay. Yeah, it's a great improvement just to realize that that cleaning exists, right? Right, Tim? What was it, Ezra who asked, what if you don't like to clean bathrooms? Well, have you taken the solution? Huh? Don't use it? I guess there's one thing you realize when you live alone, if you're going to be a bit civilized, and it's a lot of cleaning. You found that out, Jeff? If you're going to be civilized, you know, so it's time to clean. That's why it's good to have simple situations. You don't have to spend so much time cleaning. The more you have, the more you have to take care of. Oh, do you give class? Do you give class yet? Not yet? Huh? You? What? Why not? Why not? You have been knowing Krishna consciousness for so long. What year did I first meet you? 95. You're one of the oldest here. I still remember. In Rathiatra in 95, yes, in the, what do you call it, Ayutthaya Square in Auckland, I was begging her, please, don't destroy yourself. She just sat down on the pavement and I begged her. So, what is your question? Dhamma. Which one? Dhamma Bhutta, you said, or? Yes, yes. Well, but you, is it what you read in Bhagavad Gita? What's the difficulty? Ananaya is the stage of life when you're just conscious of about eating. That's your whole meditation. Pranamaya, you're just conscious that you're living. You meet many humans like that. They just, oh, I'm just You know, this life is enough for me, just to be alive. That's not anything wonderful. You know how people say like that? Just life itself, just to be alive. What's the problem with it? Any animal can have that. What's next? The animal, to have that, the beginning of human life, to have some, at least theoretical knowledge that you're not the body. Vijnanamoya means to understand that you are spirit soul. That's higher than just understanding you're not the body. To understand your spirit soul, part of the supreme soul. That you have a relationship with Krishna. And Anandamaya means you're actively exchanging in a loving relationship with Krishna. Therefore there's Ananda. Okay? So which one are you on? I don't know what. Which one are most people in Japan on? Okay. Yeah. Small city. This is about what, the second biggest city in New Zealand? It's a small city. There's about 500,000 people in this area. What a small city. How dare you say that? The Americans are so puffed up. So what is your question anyway? You have to learn how to become an expert doctor. Just by having compassion and caring, you'll develop the abilities to give the right medicine at the right time. It's never your fault if you tried to give Krishna consciousness to someone. It's always your fault if they refuse, as long as you don't antagonize them unnecessarily. As Prabhupada once said, yes, they are snakes, but you have to become an expert snake charmer. If you care for them. If people feel that you care for them, sometimes you can even tell them very strong things. They feel that you care. You can do both. Here at Gaur Yoga Center, we do indirect, we do direct. We don't get caught up in these dualities. Should we preach directly? Should we preach indirectly? You do both. Easy to preach indirectly because there's such power in this place that no matter what you do, people are going to want to know what's going on. They're going to want to listen to you. So, this is our style. Some days we preach indirectly, some days directly. But all kinds of people can be reached. I don't know. Depends on what you tell me. It's you're really giving of yourself. Well, the reason I said I don't know is because in terms of your particular situation, are you healthy? Well, it's an austerity, you know. It's an austerity. It's something normally you wouldn't do. It's a complete selfless activity. So it's tough. But gradually you'll notice that you feel the ecstasy of serving Lord Chaitanya. Or you feel like you just want to come back and do what? Because you're extending yourself. You'll get, just keep on going. You'll crash through the barrier and you keep on going and you'll start to feel enlivened. Certainly you feel purified, yes? Okay, well that's something, right? You feel so clean when you come back from Sangatam, don't you? Your consciousness is so clean. Right, Shah? Be patient. How much are you willing to develop in Krishna consciousness? How many years are you willing to develop? Okay then. So? Keep going out, distributing Prabhupada's books, and your taste for them will increase more and more. Your realizations on Sankirtan will increase more and more. I keep stressing to you all, you have to understand you're embarking on a career. It's not like a, you know, flash in the pan, overnight thing. It can be that. But generally, persons take time to develop in Krishna consciousness. You have to care for these people. You have to care for something. First of all, care for yourself. That's a good start. And then care for these people. Care for Prabhupada's books. I hope you care for me a little so that you'll assist me in serving Srila Prabhupada. You have to care for somebody. A lot of persons these days don't care for anyone. Like, how do you get motivated to do anything? Many persons are very nihilistic. You know what that means, nihilistic? I can define nihilistic. No, nihilistic means just so negative they just want to see everything destroyed, tear everything down. It used to be like that. Down with everything. You've been down with trying to tear everything down, right? You want to strike out at everything. A lot of people like that. They don't care for anyone, not even themselves. They have destructive relationships around them. They get out abuse. They figure, I've been abused, so I'll dish the abuse out too. I listen to that crazy heavy metal music. Huh? Yeah, death metal. Special sampradaya. Death metal. They just say, I feel like smashing your head. Those kind of lyrics, right? Oh, goodness. I feel like putting on a spit and roasting you. Well, my God. Oh, no, Tommy, don't tell me that. He was a death metal fan. You can? It's too much for you. Huh? Tommy Gray. Jeff, you were into it. Jeff, you were into it. Death metal. What did it do for you? Jack, you spent money on CDs that would make you feel negative, huh? Can you repeat some of the messages on these albums? Or is it possible to repeat in public? About what? Girls singing about that. Guys? That you really got off on that in the past, huh? You just kind of come home from work and put it on to relax. Guys singing about how he wants to blow up the whole world, but he's got to get somebody else to push the button. That was kind of your, so you kicked back, huh? Quite what? So you just kind of put it, yeah, I think I'll listen to that, and just sit back and, is that how you sit down, or you're doing your household chores, and just get filled with negativity, is that it? When do you listen to it? What are you doing? Are you sitting down listening to it, you're doing other things? On your computer or something? Oh, that's what you do, and then you play that kind of music? Yeah, of course. And so what do you think of while you're listening to that music? Yeah, blow up the whole world. Got it? I hate everybody. So this is my point, that many people don't care about anyone. They actually, they're cultivating negativity. That's an amazing thing. It gets worse and worse and worse. When I was a little kid, there was some rhyme little kids would say. Yeah, that's the maximum negativity at that time. Nobody likes me. Everyone hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. You heard that one? Yeah. That looks like, you know, it's like, you know, not even kid stuff. It's like, you know, little baby stuff compared to these days. So it's difficult to care. What destroys mercy? Because people gobble up so many animals, they don't have any compassion. Illicit sex destroys cleanliness. It's a dirty activity. People don't care for themselves. It's shocking, even those of you who have come forward to become Krishna conscious. It's shocking, if you ever dare to think about it, that it actually took an effort for you to care for others. Right? It wasn't like automatic. You kind of came for your own reasons, and then you gradually realize that part of becoming Krishna conscious was to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Krishna himself comes as Lord Chaitanya to do that. So this is part of the Krishna conscious program. If you want to experience the fullness of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then distribute Krishna consciousness to others. And see that it's not always easy, you're not always appreciated. Some of you in this room, I can remember pleading with you all, not just Mihoko, Josh. How many years ago? When did I first meet you? 97. When did you come to Wellington and lasted one day? When was that? No. I'm going to have to start using, we have two Joshes again. We're going to have to revert to numbering them, but no, we only have two Joshes until Sunday. You can still be the only Josh. Yay, you didn't know that? He came to Wellington and lasted one day. You were here then when he made his U-turn? What did you tell me? What was the deal you made with Krishna? You thought you made? Yeah. Then you would surrender. Well, Christina de Alba. Thank you. Don't go overseas. Remember, I had to listen to how you and so-and-so were going to the Auckland Library, you know, to read Buddhist books because he wanted to make sure that, you know, you weren't getting caught just on one path. I happened to walk into the library. There they were, you know. I even visited the flat, didn't I? The den of iniquity. This is bare flat, you know. How many rooms is it? Yeah, there's nothing in it. Should be compassionate to others. Sankirtan is not materially easy all the time. Sometimes you really just flows, right? But sometimes it's tough, right? It's like an uphill climb. So you have to analyze your reasons why you're doing Sankirtan. You have to do it out of care for someone. Otherwise you can't do it. You're distributing Krishna's glories. Sankirtan is the great destroyer of selfishness. We just care about ourselves. You notice those devotees who get absorbed in Sankirtan, they don't like waste time being mental or staring at their own navels. They've actually had a taste of something. Kadiravan was a determined Sankirtan devotee, even though she didn't do much. She was actually determined to go on. Do you still do something now, or you don't have to? Yes. I don't know who told you all that. Not everything. Srila Prabhupada said if they just take his books in their hand and appreciate the books, even if they don't buy them, that's not to give them the human form. It's not that area, you know, it's just across the board. That's a special dispensation. If they take prasad, it guarantees them that they'll get to take prasad again in the next life, no matter what species they're in. But if they take prasad and are conscious that this has been offered to Krishna, then they get a human form of life. Because to be conscious that this has been offered to Krishna, it means you have some kind of devotional understanding. Anyone who sees the wrath cart becomes liberated from sinful reactions. But what happens when the wrath cart passes? They start again, their sinful activity. Jeff, you had a question? Oh, who talks about that? Besides me, who else? Yeah, that's true. Made by what? Yes. It's your choice that you dove into material nature. And it can be your choice to get out of material nature. As we described this morning, you made the basic decision. Then you're swept away. Once you jump into a mad rushing stream, you're swept away. But you made the decision. And if a helicopter comes and drops you a line so you can grab it and get out of the mad rushing stream, then you've made that decision. And then when you get on board the helicopter, you're taken away. So you have to choose how you want to be swept away, how you want to be bewildered. Do you want to be bewildered by Krishna's material energy or spiritual energy? But the fact is, you're meant to be bewildered. Just choose which way. In Vrindavan, everyone's bewildered by Krishna. He attracts everyone and everything. And in the kingdom of Maya, everyone's bewildered by illusion. So take your pick. Do you want to be bewildered by illusion or love? That's your choice. In a sense, Mother Yashoda is a bit bewildered. She doesn't see that Krishna is God. And these are the topmost devotees. So you see, the highest level of existence is not really to know everything. The highest level of existence is to have such love for Krishna that he agrees to come under your control. But he doesn't do that if you think he's God. So in order for your loving exchanges to be the sweetest, Krishna's internal potency bewilders you into forgetting he's God. Yesterday at our workshop discussion, we're asking everyone to daydream and come up with their image of, you know, the ideal life, the ideal living situation for themselves, where they would really feel, yeah, this is life, this is what it's all about. And most persons said, yeah, I want to be in the country, and, you know, I want to be surrounded by friends. I want to be growing with them and sharing with them and creative people. And that's what most of them said. So then I asked them, will this really satisfy you? And how long will this last? No one really took into account the fact that, you know, we're going to get old and die. I just had this vision that I'll be in my cottage in the country, my friends will be there, we'll be having, you know, stimulating conversations, we'll be caring for each other, we'll be growing together. No one took into account the fact that they would have to die, and they would get old. We can see in this way. You were there? Do you know they are? Well, people just don't have any really, you don't have any deep idea of their life. And although we were having such a simple discussion, they asked me, and, you know, they told me, you know, well, actually, you know, people don't usually talk about these things. You remember that? Yeah? That really amazed me. Did that amaze you, or you knew it already? People really don't talk about these things, huh? I was a bit amazed. I mean, I didn't know it was that bad. What about you, Sarah? Did you ever think of those things? Did you ever think about such deep questions? In terms of what is your vision of your life, and did you ever take old age and death into account during your material years? So what did you come up with? What was your answer? No point in controlling your senses, right? Anyone else thought like that? If you're going to die, there's no point in controlling yourself. Julia, you thought like that? What about you, Juliana? You thought like that? You thought you're not going to die. You what? Searching for what, though? Searching for God, but you always wound up at parties, huh? Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
By doing it. Just look at the devotees who manage this place. Mm-hmm. They're trying to care for others. They're trying to extend themselves. It didn't come spontaneously. It's very easy not to care these days. And if you are so fortunate enough to come to Krishna consciousness, so your first instinct is just to care for yourself, okay? I've come to Krishna consciousness, leave it at that. That's it, you know, fine. You know, the hell with everybody else. If they want to come, they can come. Our door is open. You can see our Guru Vani working so hard. At first, she was just exercising her abilities. But then due to harassment, she actually started to think, yeah, that she's the servant of everyone. I guess you were a bit amazed when you saw when Gopal Guru came back. Anyone remember him? Yeah. What else? Yeah. Last 2 years, were you around when Jared was around? Yeah. I used to see him now. He went straight at me. He always do. He's a selfless brahmachari now. So it's possible to make progress. Remember Shara when she first came? She would just wear these hats and the socks over her. She'd wear this sari over that top over her eyes and just locked in her own world. Remember? So the purification process works. You just have to continue year after year. Don't think it stops when you're not a new devotee anymore. It goes on. Oh, that's Katie. I kept thinking, who is that over there? When did you appear? You need help, advice. I wonder if I know Katie for. Goodness. What year? 98. You used to write me from Ireland, is that where you are? Okay. Yeah. I know that person back. Who is that? Your first time here? So we've had a lot of very nice graduates. in the Guru Yoga Center. You saw Shastra Krit when he came back. He wrote me a nectar report that as soon as I got here to Wellington, everyone told me, you're just a visitor, you can't sell any sets to any of our contacts. So I thought, what can I do? And then he described how he was working on Manners Mall, and some Indian man who knew him from before called him and, you know, hey! And, you know. So then he went to the Indian man's house or something and sold him two sets of books. And he took a picture of the man with his books. The man, you know, he had his Ganesh altar here, and then right next to it was the bar with all the whiskey bottles. And he was holding the books, you know. So at the end of Shastakrit's nectar report, he said, just see, I can sell books anywhere. No one can stop me. When he first got to Los Angeles, he was trying to sell sets to everyone in the Brahmachari Ashram. They had to kind of get here, you know. We've had, so far, pretty good fortune. A couple of, maybe at least one and maybe two disappointments. By the way, it should be known that persons who take initiation and then fall away with no, don't make any effort to rectify themselves, you know, the spiritual master can renounce them. It's not that they just go on keeping their spiritual name and everyone says, hi, so and so, God. No. Actually, the Shastra says that the spiritual master accumulates many disciples like that and doesn't do anything about it, that it can be a burden. Yeah. Generally, it's a big shock when such persons kind of make a average bi-monthly, you know, visit to the Association of Devotees, and instead of being called their spiritual name, they're called Bhakta so-and-so. Then they start to really think. But I think that's a much better system than, you know, you have persons who are not following their Krishna conscious vows, but everyone still calls them by their spiritual name. That would make much sense. It was better that they have their status taken away, and if they shape up in the future, they can ask for it back again. And one of my godbrothers, Shivaram Raj, he just said, okay, send your beads back in the post. It really shakes the person. Yeah, you want to be out of it? Okay, you know. Send your beads back in the post. You're free to do whatever you like. Yeah. That gets the guru off the hook. Doesn't have to, you know, be responsible for it. I'm such a nonsense disciple. Any questions? With compassion, you're always thinking, there you would go by the grace of God. Or you know, that's what you think. I could be like that too, but some other Krishna is allowing me to stay around. Compassion, but at the same time, you have to see, do they have any desire to rectify themselves, or do they want to get it together? They're happy that someone wants to try to get themselves together again. But we have to see if they're, if that motivation is there, or they just want to kind of take things cheaply. Otherwise, it can be a case of, you know, somebody comes walking in, you know, long hair and looking dirty and jumps up and down in the kirtan, Hariva, Hariva. You know, it's long lost so-and-so das, you know. And, you know, gobbles up some prasad, disappears out the door, Hariva Prabhuj. We don't want that kind of guy, you know. Persons want to be like that, then they'll think, minus their spiritual name. Then it's a bit shocking. Hey, Bhakta Bob. My name is Balaram Das. Hello, Bhakta Bob. For myself, I've decided that I'll accept disciples more easily with the rejection clause. So before I was feeling very nice with devotees waiting many years, but now I got this idea about the rejection clause. So that it gives me an out, you know. Also, one of my godmothers was telling me from his experience, it's not simply the number of disciples that load you up with karma. It's also, just one could have more bad karma than 20. Especially if, you know, you're initiating in parts of the world where people do human sacrifices and things like that. Yeah, or in some parts of the world, you know, people come to Krishna consciousness who, you know, they're murderers in their chronic karma life. Krishna says anyone who comes to him, he'll protect them from sinful reactions if they actually surrender. For women who've had 5 abortions, 1 is not uncommon, but 5 or 6 or 7, that's pretty heavy. One is nothing unusual these days, but sometimes you come across, especially in parts of the world where contraception wasn't so widely available, like the former Soviet Union. Yeah, 5, 6, 7 abortions. Any other questions? When they start to look at city life, see their life, or is it city life? Say. They start to save their life. Go on. On the rink or something, what do you mean? I'm terrible, aren't I? Who is that? Well, we're gently, as you said, trying to strip away their illusion. I mean, it's baby stuff for me, you know, but out of compassion, I, you know, like, baby, you know, feeding them with the spoon, feeding them with, you know, baby food, you know. That's where, what can you do? That's where people are at these days. They're not, you know, they're not too smart. You've just got to really spoon feed them. So, what do you think you're going to do in the next couple of years? Do you really think that's what you want? Do you really think that's going to satisfy? One thing I noticed, I learned this in Auckland when we first began our this kind of preaching, was that when you get people to put out on the table, or to, you know, reveal in an intimate group their aspirations and their hopes, they themselves start to realize, this isn't too bright. I noticed that. But in order to get them to do that, you have to be very non-judgmental. You have to put them at ease. And then you get them to put their cards on the table in such a way that they themselves start thinking, hey, this is me. This is me? Oh, this is what I really want? I don't know. But, you know, no one's getting them to do these things. And you have to understand, it's not that I'm working alone. I'm working with the atmosphere that's created here. Otherwise, you know, I doubt if I'd have the patience. But because the atmosphere is saturated with compassion and caring, then I'm able to do like that. Because there's support. So I know that if people approach the brink like that, that there'll always be someone here to, you know, smooth their feathers and hold their hands, so to speak, and say, okay, you know, just come more often or start chanting Hare Krishna. Just like one of the persons, you know, she was demanding the crash course. I don't know if she'll actually do it, but has she started, you know? Or? Yeah. So. More and more in doing these kind of sessions, I realize how lonely and isolated people are. I can see that one of the main attractions for the yoga is the fact that after the yoga class, and I haven't seen a yoga class in a long time, but I've been assured that actually it's actually a satisfactory class, right? Not a fanatical class, but it's satisfactory. Sarah's upgrading the teaching qualities, right? So you see the people are actually satisfied? Yeah. And then after a nice yoga class, where else can they go but to sit down at a dinner table and eat a, you know, nice meal and talk to people? I can see they really get into it, you know? And that's a big part of it, I see. Don't you think? That they just get to talk. You know, it's a reason for them to relate to others. Yeah, we're all yoga students, and, you know, it gives them an excuse to be personal. They don't have to admit that they're lonely. But that's actually what's going on, and it's a really hard thing to understand that people are lonely. Maybe you all have forgotten that because, you know, you're living in a communal situation. But most people are lonely, even though there's so much hustle and bustle all around them. They're socially isolated. You realize that, Jeff? They're actually lonely. Huh? Why do you think that is so? And, you know, this is no real relationship, is that it? If you dig yourself a big hole by And when people do try to relate to somebody, it's, you know, a Friday or Saturday night when they're drunk at a club or something, and, you know, part of the mystique is the anonymity. Spending the night with someone you really don't know and won't see again. It's just, people have built a whole world of doing things in such a way that they don't have to deal with anyone. You can have a quote-unquote successful weekend of illicit sex with off occasion and not really deal with anybody. That's amazing, isn't it? Weekend after weekend you could do that and not really deal with anyone. So I realize that. But that, see, I know that, but I won't tell them that. That's too scary for them to point out to them that they're all lonely. But you just treat them like they're lonely. That's the secret. You treat them like they're lonely without telling them that they're lonely. They don't have any aim in their life, and they can see that the people here are very highly motivated. That would impress you when you first came, Jeff? But you didn't know what was going on, but you saw that the persons here were highly motivated, right? They seemed to really be focused, right? How did you first start coming? Mm-hmm. You figured, hey, I'll go check it out. Mm-hmm. You just don't realize that this society is breaking down internally. It's crumbling from within. Even when I first came to New Zealand in 93, such a difference it is now. All the so-called innocence is gone. In this atmosphere, then it's easy to have the patience to bring people along. And also, you know that there'll be support for them. Everybody needs support. Like you're talking about this person, Gail. She needed support, so you gave her support, right? Hearing it? Mm-hmm. get Julie out of it to come here? Distribute Prabhupada's books to them? Well, we have students coming here. They're the most degraded. It's pretty hard for me to think of any more degraded than student life. Is I talking about that here, or is it Christchurch? Here? The vomit in the bathrooms and what?
Here.
Isn't that degraded? And you can see yourself. We have a few persons coming here who, you know, they finished their master's degrees, or they're doing their PhDs. But you can see when it comes to thinking about themselves and what to do in life, they're no better than anyone else. It's just a question of, you know, will they use their independence properly or not? If not, if their PhD or their master's degree has given them some special insight into life. So we're trying different ways how to reach people, directly, indirectly. And I'm most happy when I see that after I work hard spoon-feeding people in a seminar that they get a Bhagavad Gita. That makes me feel like my night has been worthwhile. They start to read it. How did Susan happen to come to class this morning? Yeah, that's interesting. You don't know how it will turn out. He's not saying everything that's on her mind. I can see that. So if you care and you reach out and try to give people Krishna consciousness, Krishna will give you intelligence. And you have to be patient. As I was saying, for some of you, for years I've been begging. I remember once I was at the Food for Life in Christchurch, and Vita Allah walked in. Is that you?
Yeah.
Vita Allah and company. Walked in. What did I tell you? And then go over here. Oh, yeah. She gave me 2 months. Then you went overseas, huh? Yeah, she just happened to come in to Food for Life when I was there, yeah? Same thing happened to Mahoko, too. She just happened to come in, Mahoko and company happened to come in to We belong to Christ Church. Same thing, I spoke to her quite firmly. Then I remember, Hugo disappeared, her and her friend, and then they showed up in Wellington. They started when the loft first opened in Wellington, and they came a couple of times. And then I think I called them, or I asked, what's happening? How can we stop coming? And they told me, oh, we just want to be nice human beings. We don't want to. Just leave us. We want to be nice human beings. That's enough. Leave us to our sense of occasion. We just want to be nice human beings. So we have examples of persons becoming Krishna conscious who, you know, took some effort and some time. Just an example. Now you try to give Krishna consciousness to others. And if you want to preach Krishna consciousness, if you really want to help people, you have to be prepared to be disappointed, to be let down, even to be misunderstood, and wrongly accused. So that's why Krishna says, no one's more dear to me than the one who spreads my glories to others. Don't expect it's going to always be a rose garden, you know. People putting garlands on you. And no, they'll also kick you. Preachers, teachers of Krishna consciousness are representing Krishna. So the abuse that Krishna gets, you're going to get. It's like, gosh, you're right, when you don't want to hear about Krishna, you don't want to hear, you just want to get it out of your mind, right? Lock on to something else, right? You really have to make an effort, right? And Maya tells you, yeah, get back into real life. Real people, expand your interests, be broad-minded. Yeah, there's Krishna, but there's a lot of other things too. Open yourself up to it all, right? A lot of interesting people out there, a lot of nice girls, right? Work at a health food shop and you meet all the real nice people. We're just into organic sense gratification. Common sense, organic sense gratification. You sit around talking about spiritual things and, you know, experiences. And say, yeah, actually, this is kind of nice. All those restrictions in Krishna consciousness. You have to chant, you have to get up in the morning, you have to do this, you have to do that. At first it seemed kind of like a bit of freedom. Just not in style anymore, huh? What's the style these days? Just they just want to do their own thing, meaning?
Well, it's just, I just get let out of my mind what the spiritual view is, not having, not the sort of thing that I was thinking, but the spiritual thing.
Yeah. So the days of discussing it publicly, that's over.
Yeah.
It used to be like that in the mid-90s when this book, Celestine Prophecy, was so popular. It used to have, like, jam-packed seminars with people, you know, coming to, you know, talk about, you know, the spiritual views, the insights, and that was the yoga thing, that instead of yoga we had like Celestine Prophecy workshops, just jam-packed with people, 25 persons just, you know, really speculating and contemplating and then it was really cool and in style to in vogue to discuss spirituality, but now it's just all gone. The fad's over. Were you around at that time? Could you be around? You came after that. What year did you come? Yeah. Yeah, the boom had finished. That Krishnaloka was there. I guess he was only one. That was huge. It was the cool thing then to go to seminars and workshops and discuss. When we had the loft in Ponsonby, like on some nights, like you got like 30 people coming over from the North Shore, you know, North Shore types, you know, they're most difficult to get, and they would just descend on the loft, and you know. Remember that, Krishnaloka, during the days when spirituality was really cool, trendy, and all these yuppie people coming and. I remember once the phone rang and I picked it up and you know, somebody was asking information how to get the law. You know, my husband and I, we just found out about this new age thing. We just really want to get into it. I mean, you know, we had to come to your place. You know, we're a bit late getting into it. You know, the new age thing, but you know, we really made up our minds. This is the way we want to go. And
that was the mood there.
Not anymore. So we had to come up with something else. Krishna gave us intelligence to see the yoga thing. Use that. But we should always be thinking of other ways. You know, we don't only ride on one horse. There's so many different things we could do for these purposes of getting people to associate with devotees. So let me ask you that. You should think of other ways. That's what I'm trying with these seminars I'm doing. All right. It would be too late.
What to do tomorrow morning? On Friday night, what do we usually have? People come for that? Well, I expect to be a huge crowd. How many? Yeah, and often Friday nights are the Eat a Mystery nights. That was the big night. And often Friday night. You were there for some of those, weren't you, Jeff? You can hear everyone else. You stick up, that's where you started with it. You started with Ayurveda, is that what you started with? And then I think you came on a Friday night, that's when I first heard it.
violated for Friday night. How did I start coming to your bookshop? Is that what I asked you there? you must have told me that you worked at a bookshop. And did I ask you for a discount, or you offered a discount? He got it both barrels as soon as he walked in the door. What year was that? What year? 95? You walked in the temple for the first time, is that it? What did I tell you? I just went at it with both gun barrels. I felt sorry for her because as she came to the temple for the first time, and immediately devotees were, you bow down before the Vyasa, you know. This is Prabhupada's Vyasa, you bow down. Oh my God. Yeah. Just plunging into all the rituals and all the esoterica, immediately, the first visit to the temple. I saw that she had some ability to listen. But I used to really blast away at her, right? Didn't blast, right? She was like the classic, I made her into the classic Sanskrit empire. Whenever there was, discussion about, the downside of material pleasure and all that. So, Danielle, is that what it's like? And she would always give a truthful answer. Yes. Biggest battle. If you ever get to meet her, I don't know if any of you remember. She actually, I think, passed through Wellington. Charm Radio. That was a big battle. much heavier than Guru Vani felt like. We weren't even, you know, preaching to you. We got offended. We weren't even preaching. But Char Narayana, we gave it to her head on. She was the only guest at the workshop. She just got it for 2 hours. The first time she walked through the door. These are the adventures of preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are other disappointments also. Maya is strong. It is heartbreaking to see persons come to Krishna consciousness and go into Maya. But you're not doing this for yourself, you're doing this as service to Krishna. What year did you and Shara start coming? 2000. We were at the end of the autumn days.
Really? 2000? Wasn't that long ago? That was before that, wasn't it? 2000? Before, yeah. How old are you now? Almost 19?
You're 19.
How old are you now?
18. And you started coming when you were 15. It must have been 99, yeah? Or even, what, earlier?